Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's turn, please, to Matthew chapter 13. This is a significant day in that, for me, it's the last day to be with you this year, and I'll not be with you again until next year. And in between, of course, you'll have a nice break. Trust the Lord will bless you, keep you during the time of holiday that's coming. Matthew chapter 13, reading from verse 47. Again. We commented on that little word last time we were with you. The Lord is anxious to have you here, and He comes at you again and again and again. Of course, there are those that are annoyed with the Lord's persistence. Those that would rather He would just shut up and go away. I remember just after I was saved, quite literally, a Sabbath or two after I was saved, I was in Ravenhill Free Presbyterian Church. I remember Dr. Paisley telling a story, a true story, of a young lassie that was attending his church, and he saw evidence of her being distressed under the preaching of the gospel. And Sabbath evening after Sabbath evening, as she attended, she went out of the service distressed, and then there came Sabbath evening and she wasn't there, and another Sabbath evening and she still didn't appear. So Dr. Paisley went round, for he knew the family, went round to see her. And he talked to her and he said, "I know you have been troubled about the gospel." And she said, "Yes, what you were saying did bother me." He says, "But you stopped coming." She said, "Yes, because the last time I was out, and I was deeply troubled," she says, "I went home and I got down on my knees and I said, 'Lord, leave me alone.'" And she says, "From that moment, I have had peace." And I remember how Dr. Paisley told the story and expressing his fear and distress at the action of this young lassie. For he felt very strongly that what she had done was sin, the unpardonable sin, and she would never again be bothered or troubled by the gospel. Oh, listen to me. It is in mercy the Lord comes and troubles our hearts. And the right action is to ask Him to have mercy on us, save us, and take away the trouble by saving us, cleansing us from our sins. So then the Savior says again, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which when it was full they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus saith unto them, 'Have ye understood all these things?' And they say unto Him, 'Yea, Lord.'" In other words, yes, we do. As I say, we're at the final study of this wonderful series of parables. We have been concentrating on this last one, this last week or so. And today I want to emphasize what it says toward the end of this brief little parable. When it was full, that is, when the net was full, they drew to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels and cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of this world. Or, as I've explained to you in the past, the word here translated world doesn't refer to the earth that we're standing on, but it refers to this age we're living in. The word refers to a period of time. So at the end of this age, this is what's going to happen. Going to be judgment. Judgment will take place. You know, every person on the face of the earth knows that there is an end coming. Everybody. Doesn't matter whether they believe the Bible or not. They all know an end is coming. And you can see that very evidently in the expressions and conclusions and arguments and discussions of men that is found everywhere in the media. Many who think the end is coming by way of some great rock out of the heavens, hitting the earth, and ending life on earth. Others think there's going to be an invasion of aliens, beings from another world. The newspapers every day has a story on that subject. And that's because people realize inwardly there is an end. Most people don't want to face up to what God has said the end will be. They don't want to conclude as the Bible teaches them to conclude, that there is a judgment coming, and they will be held accountable to God. Folk don't want to think that. But nevertheless, they cannot get away from that which is, we'll say, printed on their very being. There is an end. And the Savior tells us, so shall it be at the end of this world, Or, as I say, the word should be the end of this age. That's what the Savior said. At the end of this age. Now, at the end of this age, we see that God has divine agents that will be sent forth to act on His behalf. The Savior will come, and He will be attended by angels. Verse 49. So shall it be at the end of this age. The angels shall come forth. There'll be no mistaking the end of this age. There'll be no mistaking the coming again of the Lord Jesus. In Matthew chapter 24, and I'll repeat something that I have often said to you, if you want to learn about the coming of the Lord and events that will mark the end of this age, please read and study Matthew chapter 24. And in Matthew chapter 24, we read verse 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. I might tell you that in Matthew chapter 24, the Lord is comforting His people about the end of the age. And so we read here of the angels gathering together God's elect. In Matthew chapter 13, on the other hand, the Savior is, as it were, preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel. And therefore, we're told that verse 49, so shall it be at the end of the world, the end of the age, the angels shall come forth and shall sever the wicked from the just. There's a reference there to the angels gathering the wicked and severing them from the just. Matthew 24 is comforting the church. He's comforting God's people, and he's saying, when the Lord comes, He's going to gather you to Himself. In Matthew 13, when he talks about the angels going forth, there's an emphasis on the angels dealing with the wicked. That's a warning. There is a day coming when the Lord is going to deal with the wicked, and the angels of God will be the agents whereby this division will be made amongst those that profess to be Christians. You see, as I said already, this net that is the subject of this parable, this net pictures for us the church. It pictures for us professing Christendom. Throughout the world, throughout the ages, God has drawn the net of the gospel through the nation by His servant. And there has been gathered into the net those that profess to be saved. Those that profess to be saved. But not all in the professing church are really saved. Not all. Just like this net, it had good fish and it had bad fish. Fish you couldn't eat and which had to be thrown away. No good. So in the professing church. And this is the case, I would say, in every congregation. There are those who profess to be saved in every congregation. But not all of them are really saved. Not all of them are really saved. Young folk, I say this in order that you might examine yourself. That's what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. Examine yourself and see if you are in Christ. If you're in Christ, it's not hard to detect that fact. It's not hard to know and see the evidence of that fact. There's new life. You're a new creature. You have new desires, new ambitions, new loves. You are not what you used to be. I have known people who have said to me, yes, I've got saved, but there was no change in their life. They were just going on doing the old thing. Oh, maybe they toned it down a little bit at first. But they knew in their heart they weren't really saved. They knew they were putting on a show. They knew they were telling a lie and pretending to be what, in fact, they weren't. How is it with you today? At this very moment, as I'm speaking to you, what is your heart saying? What is your heart saying? Is your heart responding to my words by saying, oh, I know I'm saved. I can remember well the day I got saved. Oh, I mightn't be all that I should be, but I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Or is it saying, he knows about me? The preacher knows I'm not saved. He's getting at me. Well, I'm not getting at anyone here, particularly. I'm not getting at anyone. For I don't know your heart, but the Holy Spirit may well be getting at your heart. The Holy Spirit may well be challenging you. And oh, I trust that you will take heed, that you will take heed. For there's a day when all who say they're Christians will be examined. And those who are not will be set aside. And those who are will be gathered unto the Lord. Look at the destination of those who are not. You know, boys and girls, the Lord is exceedingly honest with us. I noticed a story appeared in the press a couple of days ago, and it has appeared on a number of occasions and in many publications, of a wonderfully beautiful, luxurious cruise ship sailing, I think it was the Mediterranean, and hundreds on board the ship were stricken down with a sickness. And they were as sick, as we would say, as dogs. They were really sick. Such was the nature of that which had broken out amongst them. Hundreds of them. And the ship had to anchor up somewhere, and medical help sought, and so forth and so on. And I was thinking to myself, I guarantee that didn't appear in the advertisements. Come, join us on our luxurious cruise, and we're going round the most beautiful cities and beaches and destinations in the Mediterranean, and also, without charge, we'll make you sick as a dog. No, didn't say that in the advertisements. I've often thought too of Army, Navy, Air Force recruitment posters encouraging young people to join up, see the world, have plenty of adventure. It doesn't tell you that, by the way, you might get shot somewhere. You might be blown up by a terrorist somewhere. It doesn't say anything about that. But the Lord is so plain and so truthful regarding the future. Look at what he says. So shall it be at the end of the age. The angel shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Verses 49 and 50. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That's how it is. That's how it is. Oh, I say to you, the Lord has been playing here. And he's telling you what lies ahead of those who are not saved. If you're not saved, he's telling you what lies ahead. And it will come to pass. This is not an exaggeration. Men exaggerate. Always they exaggerate. But never the Lord. The Lord only speaks that which is exactly the truth. Exactly the truth. This is what faces men and women at the end of the age. The net is drawn in. And then there's the division. Those that are really saved, separated from those who said they were saved, who associated themselves with the church, who mingled with Christians. And the outsiders thought they are Christians, but they weren't Christians. Those fish in the net, they were different from all the other fish that were swimming around. They weren't in the net, but not all of the fish in the net were good. And there came a day when they were parted, one from another, the good from the bad, the just from the unjust, the saved from the lost. You can't hide, boys and girls. You can't get away with pretending that you're saved. Putting on a show, talking at appropriate moments when somebody asks you, when you're in certain company, talking as if you were saved. That won't do. That won't do. The last words of the Lord are given us in the verse 51. Jesus saith unto them, have you understood all these things? And I just close with repeating his question to you. Have you understood all these things? Have you? Do you see how these truths relate to you? Do you see yourself pictured here? And have you understood that this is about me? I'm in the net, but I'm not really saved. I mingle with Christians, but I'm not a Christian. Maybe my mum thinks I'm a Christian. Maybe my dad thinks I'm a Christian because I attend church, I attend Sunday school, I attend young people's meetings. But I'm not really a Christian. Have you understood this? Won't you get saved? Won't you get saved? Won't you ask the Lord to save you? And thus be ready and joyfully waiting for this day that's spoken of here, the end of the age. The saved will welcome that day and welcome the angels and welcome above all the Savior as he comes in glory. It will be a day of inexpressible joy for the child of God. But what horror will befall those who are not saved? They know what's awaiting them. And if you're not saved, the Lord tells you what's awaiting you. Listen to me. They shall be cast into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Wailing and gnashing teeth. Very few of you have ever experienced such pain and suffering or anything like it as is pictured here. I've seen youngsters who got hurt and the pain was very severe. I've seen them dancing with pain, so Awful was the pain, and they were clenching their hands and gritting their teeth. I've seen others who have fallen and scrubbed their knee a wee bit on the floor, and they get up and they're howling their head off, but they're not really in pain. Teacher says, look, here's a wee sweetie. Oh, and suddenly the tears all dry up and the howling ceases. They weren't really in pain. But the child who's clenching their fists and stamping their feet and gritting their teeth in pain, a sweetie won't cure that, won't take away that pain. They're really in pain. And the Savior says the lost will be wailing and gnashing their teeth. And that's a wailing and that's a gnashing that will go on throughout eternity. No pain that we have ever had lasts forever. It diminishes eventually. It goes away. The cause of it is taken away and the pain declines and disappears gradually. But there's no disappearing, no declining of the suffering of the lost. Oh, take heed today, boys and girls. Get into Christ. Get saved. Be ready for eternity. May the Lord bless his word to your heart. We sang that hymn, John Newton's great hymn. And I just read the first verse we sang again to you and listen to it. Day of judgment, day of wonders. Hark the trumpets, awful sound. Louder than a thousand thunders shakes the vast creation round. How the summons will the sinner's heart confound. May God give you some understanding of these truths so that you flee to Christ for salvation. Let's bow in prayer. Lord, we pray for your blessing upon the children. I ask thee, Lord, to bless them during the holiday time. Keep them safe physically of that. We, Lord, are most anxious, but above all, Lord, keep them from sin. Keep them from spiritual harm. O God, those who are saved, may they maintain their walk with God. And those who are not saved, even here this morning, God, save them. We ask of thee, bless us now. Be with all that the school ever thinks about and prays for. Be with them, Lord, and answer prayer today. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, one and all, do have a good holiday break. Lord bless you.